Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cody and Gold here in Miami. Our big game coverage presented by HCA Midwest Health. Number one on what's trending. The guys for The Drive were out at the Chiefs Hotel earlier today. Chiefs media availability. And yesterday we mentioned the video that came out from TMZ, Kareem Hunt, when he was cited for a traffic violation and was very emotional in that video, talking to the police officer, explaining how difficult this has been for him and feeling like he should be in the Super Bowl, getting set for that this week. Well, Patrick Mahomes, out at the Chiefs Hotel today, was asked about Kareem Hunt and their relationship.
Well, I've talked to Kareem. That's my dude. I mean, it's someone that I came with, I have a great friendship with, so I stay in touch with him. But Yeah, I mean, it's someone that I'm sure I'll text here soon, and he's my guy, and I want him to always know that. I mean, we all have regrets with everything, a lot of things we do. People make mistakes, but I think with him, he's a great human being. He's someone that that understands those mistakes he made, and he's going to do whatever he can to come back from those.
That was Mahomes asked about their relationship and what he thought of the incident as a whole. Obviously,
I'm sure he's worried about him just like most people.
Yeah, and I think no matter what you think of someone, you can tell that it's somebody in that video going through a lot at this point in time emotionally, and you want to make sure that that individual gets help, and hopefully the Cleveland area and the Cleveland Browns are able to do that. But Mahomes, you know, for the most part, they're just kind of mentioning that he hasn't even texted him yet, but it's Super Bowl week. I think there's Chiefs fans going to say, yeah, don't worry about that for this week. You can text him next week.
Yeah, and that's what he said, text him soon.
Yeah.
Text him soon. And it doesn't mean he hasn't already texted him. He wouldn't tell us that anyway. Number two on what's trending, obviously continuing getting audio from our guys over at The Drive. I'm sure we'll have more on their show coming up. BK, Levine, and Carrington all covering it. Tyrann Mathieu, also speaking to the media today, has a lot of respect for what Kyle Shanahan does on offense.
You know, Kyle Shanahan is smart, man. It's not just the play calls he's drawing up. You know, he's moving a lot of people around because he wants you to stop for a second and think, right? And then he snapped the ball, and it's a big play. So, you know, I think he's trying to take advantage of guys like myself, you know, who wants to play fast, you know, who wants to see what they believe and go. You know, he moves a lot of things around to kind of get you to second-guess yourself, so to say.
That's what we talked about with Spags. Get you to second-guess yourself. Make you think when you're not supposed to think. That's the part that you have to try to avoid in the matchup if you're the Chiefs defense. Being sound is easier said than done when the 49ers use motion 60% of the time, which is more than anyone else in the NFL this season.
Number three on what's trending, Travis Kelce was asked about his favorite Patrick Mahomes moment in their time as teammates.
I would probably say that run last week against Tennessee. That was a pretty fun memory, man, when he broke about three or four tackles and got in the end zone. Showed us all something that we hadn't seen out of him yet. I was like, oh, go down, go, get out of bounds. This is a two-minute drill, so I'm like, get out of bounds, or at least I'm thinking in my mind that's what he's going to do. And then he surprises everybody, cuts it back, breaks a few tackles, and finds his way in the end zone. I mean, it's just it's Magic Mahomes at its finest right there.
I think Titans players maybe felt like Mahomes was just going to go out of bounds as well, as did apparently Travis Kelce. And we'll see. There was a lot of even that last night at media night. Guys asked about their favorite Mahomes moment and things like that. I imagine some of these guys' moments that they mentioned last night gonna change if the Chiefs are able to win come
probably
Sunday. Gonna guess their favorite moments being teammates with Mahomes and being a member of the Chiefs. Probably gonna change, at least that's the hope, come Sunday night.
Although we said that play is like a Hall of Fame real play.
It will
like
be
if
in
like
his intro video.
Top 15 plays of Mahomes' Hall of Fame career in 20 years. Currently, that one's on it. And
no
I think it's one of those plays that stays on, especially if you win a Super Bowl. If that's the play that happens on the run to a Super Bowl, then you're having a whole nother conversation. Our coverage brought to you by TicketSolutions.com and Extreme Grand Prix.
Coming up at 12:30, Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus going to join us. Our guest list brought to you by Diagnostic Imaging. I mentioned opening night last night. We had a good time. It was some goofing around with some of the questions, some serious. Last night was more about just having fun than anything else. You guys know by now how media night works. It's today's a little more typically the serious questions. But last night, you've got reporters from all over. You've got those from late night TV doing a bunch of different bits and everything like that. And Cody, you went around with Ryan Witkowski from Fesco in the morning, and everybody's getting audio and all this, and you've been dealing with an elbow issue. We told everybody about this yesterday, and now you don't have it wrapped right now. So maybe the doctor already worked.
Fix
I
me.
Don't know. It's because, you know, yesterday you had the elbow wrapped up. You're dealing with bursitis and all this, and people were making jokes of how in the heck you got bursitis, whatever. But you went straight to the doctor. We're all going to work. We're all trying to work at media night. Cody goes there with the idea of trying to get the elbow fixed, apparently, because you guys made your way right to Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
First, he's from Canada, so they have free medical care, so I'm interested in that portion of this suggestion. But yes.
Let's not go into that debate.
Ryan and I hit up LDT thinking my elbow was still bothering me. It had been a long day. Maybe there was something he could diagnose different than what I'd heard before. And this is our conversation, obviously, with Ryan, as you previously said, about maybe some of the things I can do going forward.
I mean, elbow bursitis, because they happen, like, over, like, really quickly.
It was, like, the next day.
Exactly. You see, that's what I'm saying. And it, like, got, like, it got, like, swollen and all big. Yeah. I mean, honestly, you got to ice it down. Sometimes they would give you, like, NSAID. Did they give you any
anti-inflammatory? Yeah, I got a good naproxen and some pain pills.
Exactly. That's all you can do. That's all there is to do.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
How long am I looking at?
Probably, like, a couple of weeks. You'll feel better within a couple of days.
Can you prescribe him anything? Are you on that level yet?
So I got my MD, but I haven't applied to residency, so I don't have a number to prescribe yet. But back home in Canada, if I start residency tomorrow, I could start prescribing.
Can you take a look? Can you give him a second opinion?
Is it that bad?
It hurts.
Yeah, it's hurt.
Oh. I've got a bet wrapped.
He's got a big wrap around. Is that helping?
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but those things sometimes they get really swollen and red, and they almost like a little lump.
They told me to wrap it to try to like keep the.
Yeah, you want to push the fluid back in, so yeah, wrapping it is a good idea. And at the end of the day, we say it's a bursitis, but it's not like an infection. It's more like an inflammation. So just taking anti-inflammatory, you should be better.
Last one, I asked for a steroid shot, but they said no because of the risk of infection. Couldn't I have just gotten a shot to take the inflammation down?
Well, you could, but there's at the end of the day, like the bursa is a little cushion that allows your tendon and everything to like slide better. So when it gets inflamed, it's really painful. But at the end of the day, it's not like having like a big infection inside a joint. Exactly. So I wouldn't poke a needle in there if you don't have to.
You've been very helpful.
All right, thank you.
So that was the doctor giving Cody some advice. About the elbow. You went and traced for white. Why can't I just get a shot? He said, that's not a good idea.
So when Ryan said, like, is there anything, can you take a look at it? He legit tried to start pulling up my sleeve.
He did, not Ryan.
No, LDT was okay. Like, all right, let me get a good look at this. But the sleeve, like, the shirt I was wearing, it wouldn't have been able to go above elbow at that time. So we only got so far on that diagnosis. But I think I was going to get, like, a legitimate look. Honestly, this was some pretty good advice.
It must be working to some extent. You don't have the brace on. Can you flex the elbow? Can the elbow move a little bit?
It's still a little tight.
A little painful?
It's a lot less painful than it was I left town. He said a couple days I'd start to feel better.
And you started taking the meds on Saturday?
I started taking them, yeah, maybe Saturday night.
And here
Sunday
we are
morning.
On Tuesday, so he's right on. He's right on. And he said no shots.
I'm kind of happy Cody's, we had an opportunity to do that. Maybe I shouldn't be bothering players Super Bowl week with actual medical advice. But he's a doctor, and people have been asked weirder stuff at that anyway.
Oh, no doubt. Well, we witnessed some of that. There was some dancing going on at opening night as well, and even had Tyreek Hill, who was asked about Patrick Mahomes and his voice, and he gave a great story with an impersonation.
He did, indeed. And so, I don't know that I was really anticipating him to do his own personal Patrick Mahomes impersonation?
Because his voice has obviously come up before, but I don't know if we've heard from Tyreek Hill or really anybody impersonating the voice for the most part.
No, we know that we know that Andy has an impersonation, but we haven't heard it yet.
Which maybe after the Super Bowl.
Oh, I guarantee you, like, it'll be in the press conference the following day. If the Chiefs are to win the Super Bowl, they have a press conference. I'll go that direction. But for now, we'll have to just tolerate the idea that what we have in this world is Tyreek Hill with that impersonation.
What's my favorite Patrick Mahomes moment? Probably when he comes in the huddle and he sounds like a frog. That's probably my favorite moment. I crack up every time, just like it's the first time. You want to hear it?
Do it right.
Yeah, Kermit the Frog sounds just like that. I can't do that no more because he ain't going to throw me the ball no more.
By the way, that was phenomenal.
That's so good.
We got to get that. That's got to become a drop.
Just him going.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Yeah, just that.
Just that part.
Imagine, I would love to know, like, do you really think Tyreek Hill just, imagine, very serious moment in the game, and Tyreek Hill just starts chuckling after me.
Every time he's like, guys, we're down three. We got 2 minutes to play. And Hill's like, that guy still sounds like Kermit. He's not wrong. He does kind of have I would describe it as a Muppety voice.
Yeah, it's a Kermit the Frog.
I want to hear Andy's so bad. I want to hear Andy's impression so very bad. I can't even resist the urge.
I was disappointed we only got, four words out of Tyreek Hill for that. I was hoping for, I wanted
to.
Oh, like,
he said it makes his voice hurt.
Well, yeah, it's not your natural voice. I would imagine that would be the case. So those were a couple of the fun moments. There's some more we'll bring you throughout the show today from opening night involving the Chiefs and the 49ers.
Should I really not be? You know, obviously, I'll get the text line's feel for this. And I'm, you know, the text line, the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 69306 from the 620. I heard Andy does a Mahomes voice. Yes, we have heard that as well. So we're just kind of looking for some advice. I see a couple people just saying you would be considered low priority in Canada. You'd be on a waiting list for years to see a doctor, socialize health care. What? Come on, I'm not getting into this.
Yeah, that we're not
I don't really actually know what it's like. I just know that I felt like maybe I should pay him something at the end of it, but then also I felt less like maybe that was the case because of the way medical care works in Canada. Maybe he can just take a look at my elbow, decide that I'm okay, and move on. I am injured in the – and injured is probably not even it.
Yeah, well, let's be real here.
I am barely inconvenienced in the – it was real – it sucked bad on Saturday.
I've already discovered what the problem is. Seriously, I'm looking at it right here throughout the show today.
No, I'm intentionally putting my arm
you've got
right –
you're
here.
Off the table, and you're using just your right hand on the laptop as well. That's probably what it's – all the clicking of the laptop. That's
probably,
exactly what it is.
You know, we got to go through different stuff here on this end to keep ourselves busy.
Yeah, no doubt.
You see Herbie Teope of the Kansas City Star. Aren't you a busy man?
He's walking through. He's making the rounds. He was walking with Jeff Schwartz earlier. Jeff Schwartz was around.
We could have tried to force Herbie to come on the show.
I think Jeff Schwartz is going to be on our station tomorrow.
Correct. Our entire guest list, obviously, all week, brought to you by Diagnostic Imaging Centers. As we've got a full show for pretty much everybody the rest of the way, both on our show and moving forward, you can obviously anticipate. Quite a bit. David Koechner, Therese Paylor, Ross Tucker, all coming up on the drive. We're expecting Michael Irvin and Steve Palazzolo the rest of the way as well. Plus, you know, we've got Lee Steinberg, Jeff Garcia. They have Jeff Schwartz, Darren Revelle. And that's only to name a few, including Scott Pioli on the morning show tomorrow. So, obviously, a lot going on here on Radio Rose. We kind of experienced that opening night for the first time. I know that was something that I had just never personally gone through. And while you can get some good audio, every single media coverage thing you go to right now is so difficult to kind of carve out your piece. It's not a bad thing, but it also means people are saying things at a clip that you're not necessarily – which is – I like it because I get to continue to hear players talk about things that maybe they wouldn't always be willing to step in. The one guy's the exception to that is the guy Hill just did the voice of. Patrick Mahomes has not said a single thing where people, like, pulled a quote and felt the need to make a bigger point about it, right?
Haven't seen one. You've seen, Frank Clark, a few comments from last night, obviously.
Matthew, Watkins, Hill, I've seen a bunch.
Kittle, even last night on the 49ers side, joking around about Jimmy Garoppolo. Apparently, he said he's a terrible texter. Like, you really haven't got a whole lot of that from Mahomes, but I don't think anybody was expecting that going in. And when you have 3,000-plus people out last night, 3,000 credentialed media alone at last night's event, I don't think it's surprising that you weren't able to weasel your way through to some of the traffic there yesterday.
No, it's a bit of a challenge, at least on that end, just based on, you know, knowing where we're going to be in that situation. Our coverage brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City and Midwest Bus.
We got people now wanting to call in with Mahomes impressions. A little difficult while we're on remote.
If you send
them
to me on Twitter, I'll go through the best ones and play them. I refuse to just put 14 bad Mahomes impressions.
I don't think
that's
a good
idea. If you legitimately
think
yours is good, record yourself. Send it to at CodyBTap on Twitter. And if I have 4 or 5 that I deem worthy, I will find an opportunity to get to it.
All right, let's go out to the 610 hotline right now and welcome in Michael Irvin, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael, thanks so much for joining us here on Cody and Gold. We're down in Miami. We're waiting for you.
Oh, you guys in Miami?
Oh, yeah. We're ready to roll.
Yeah. Well, I was right over at Radio Row earlier doing some pieces and interviews. I didn't get a chance to see you. I'll be back over there also tomorrow and Thursday, Friday, doing some more stuff, man. So I got to make sure I drop by and see you since you're right here, because I'm here too. And listen, aren't you happy to be here with this weather and all the people that are listening to your broadcast doesn't have the kind of weather that you are in? We should have the Super Bowl here on a rotation at least every 4 to 5 years.
So you're saying you don't want a Super Bowl in Kansas City?
I'm saying I had one in Minnesota, and it was, oh, my God, cold.
It I was up
so
there.
Cold. When the guy picked me up, my driver picked me up, and he said to me, he said, hey, we're lucky today. I said, what do you mean? He says, only a -9 degrees. I was like, oh, my God. If you're saying luck is -9, there shouldn't be a Super Bowl here. There just shouldn't be a Super Bowl.
When you're I obviously saw you, you know, talk to Patrick Mahomes and kind of go through that. We're just talking about how he's a guy who seemingly always says the right thing. As a guy who didn't mind saying something that might be controversial, how hard is it for a player like that to just like, I'm just going to stay in my lane all the time? Because we know that on the field, he plays like he's in your face.
Yeah, but when you're a quarterback, you don't have to go outside of that mantra of saying the right things and staying in the right lane. You're still going to get all of the airtime and everything, no matter what you say. But when you're at a different position, you're out wide, something like that. You're in line. Now you got to do other things to get attention. You got to entertain in other ways because we're always talking about the quarterback. Well, I hope you guys understand, man, what you have in Patrick Mahomes. And I keep explaining it to people like this. I said, we see athletes come along, but there are certain athletes that come along that moves it all forward. You know, we watch Larry Bird, and we watch how great he was and that three-point shot that he had. But Steph Curry has evolved and made that three-point shot a whole different way. What Steph Curry's done for the three-point jumper, I say Patrick Mahomes is doing for the quarterback position. He's revolutionizing the position again.
Talking with our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Irvin with us here on Cody and Gold 610 Sports Radio. We were talking about the wide receivers in this game, and obviously people look at Kansas City and what they have at that grouping, but over on the 49ers side, do you feel like they're getting downplayed a little bit? What do you make of the wide receiver core that Jimmy Garoppolo's got coming up on Sunday?
And they are getting downplayed, and rightfully so if you're doing a comparative analysis to what Kansas City has at the wide receiver position. But since they got Emmanuel Sanders in San Francisco in week 8, you look at Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers since week 8 and how they've taken off. And it's not just affected the quarterback position. Look at how Deebo Samuel has taken off since week 8 because they have a young guy there and Deebo Samuel and all those young guys. And then they put a veteran in and taught these young guys now, or teaching these young guys now, how to prepare and how to play at this level. And that combination is creating a great, great combination for them at the wide receiver position. So absolutely, they get downplayed because they're not Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and all of those guys, but they're a pretty good group.
All of our guests are brought to you by Rufus Teague as we speak here to Michael Irvin, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Hey, a different analyst, not you, said that the Chiefs were being too braggadocious is not the word. Arrogant was the word used when Eric Bieniemy said that every play on offense was designed to score a touchdown. Do you think the Chiefs are being too arrogant? And also, is being arrogant bad?
Well, arrogance, yes. Confidence, no. And arrogance is just your perspective of my confidence. You see what I'm saying? That's all that is. People start getting all up in arms when other people say, oh, they're being arrogant. I don't mind you saying that. That's just because that's your perspective of my confidence. You see me confident, and you want to call it arrogance, that's on you. But confidence is key, and Kansas City has that confidence. You got to know every time you step on this football field, we can score. We can score. We have to, because that's what it takes when you're playing against one of these great defenses, and San Fran has a great defense. You're going to go beyond what we have in skill, and you're going to be tested on what you have in will. And if my will doesn't believe and have the confidence that I can get it done, then I have no shot at getting it done. That's why it's important to have the kind of confidence that Eric Bieniemy is talking about in that offense, with that offense.
We're talking with our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Irvin. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. I asked you about the wide receivers just a little while ago. When you look at the matchups, though, for Kansas City and the 49ers and where you feel like each team does have an advantage, whether significant or not, where is it that it stands out for each team here?
What do you mean? Where is the advantage?
Yeah, which side do you think the biggest advantage is for, other than the quarterback position on Kansas City's side?
Man, with the speed you guys have at wide receiver. Now, they got speed on that 49ers defense, but that's going to be the key for this game for San Francisco, is how do you mitigate the speed? So do I make sure we play it over the top? And I make Kansas City drive the field. I'm not giving you the easy play. I'm not giving you the over-the-top play. I need you to nickel and dime this. 5 yards here, 3 yards there, 4 yards there. I need you to nickel and dime this ball all the way down the field. That'll be the key to how this game play out. If you give Kansas City the big plays, you let their speed take over, We can pack it up and go home right now. That game's going to be over. That's the matchup. It's the speed matchup that San Francisco has to worry about the most.
Obviously, we want to know how you think this one finishes, so let's get our game prediction brought to you by Broncato's Catering. Who do you think wins on Sunday, Michael? You got an idea score yet?
Yeah, I played this game all year, and I, since about week 9, I've been calling and saying I had San Francisco and Baltimore in the Super Bowl. I said Baltimore would beat San Francisco the first time, but San Fran will win the game the second time after getting a look at that offense. Now Kansas City is here. I'm still going to go with San Francisco just because I've ridden with them. But I'm telling you right now, this game is going to come down to that last drive. And even though San Francisco has a great running game, in order for San Fran to win this game, it's going to have to be on Gronk's arm. He's going to have to make a last-second drive because Kansas City is going to be up 34 to 30. And they're going to have to go and score that last-second touchdown to win the game. I got them winning 37-34, something like that.
Michael, appreciate you joining us. Enjoy Miami. Maybe we'll see you around Radio Row tomorrow.
Absolutely, man. And you guys enjoy Miami too now. Not too much, but make sure just enough. Because Miami, you can get lost and never leave. You got to be careful. You can get stuck down here forever. That's how fun it is.
If there's one place we were going to go, is there a spot?
Yeah, I got plenty of spots. You got to call me. I don't need to be telling it over the air, though. You got to call me on the personal.
I'll ask you in person tomorrow.
There you go. That's our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Michael Irvin. Insider call is brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. By the way, if you think I'm not going to take him up on that, absolutely we are.
Boy, he's got a better idea what's cool in Miami than I do.
That's what I said. We're absolutely going to take him up on that. Coming up next, our national cash contest, a chance at $1,000, and Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at CaseyLend.com.
Cody and Gold back here on 610 Sports Radio from Miami. This segment of our coverage in Miami brought to you by TicketSolutions.com and 7th Street Casino. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, going to join us momentarily. But first, it's time for your code word in our national cash contest, a chance at $1,000.
1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word PLAY to 72881. That's PLAY, P-L-A-Y. The $1,000 cash winner in our national cash contest. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance at $8,000 each weekday. Just listen on the 30s. Next chance coming up at 1:30. Text PLAY, P-L-A-Y, to 72881.
All of our guests brought to you by Rufus Teague, and I mentioned he is joining us right now from the TicketSolutions.com table. Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus. We were talking a little bit even just off air, just how this event even maybe for you guys in general. You're a vet now, but it seems like overall the days as they go further in the week get crazier and crazier. So how are we doing?
Yeah, it's great. Early in the week, people like me can go around, do some radio hits and all that stuff, and then the real celebrities come in, the good players, the gold jacket Hall of Famers are running around here and stuff like that. So it gets crazier and crazier as the week goes on. And then I just get out here and repeat myself. Oh, here's what I think is going to happen in the game. Same thing and same score prediction. I might mix it up a little bit this year.
Well, let's start away from a question you probably typically get. Our producer of the morning show wanted me to ask you if that was a perm or your real hair. I said real.
Come on. Did Eric
Eager put you into that? No, I swear to God, it was our producer.
Show.
He's always taking shots at my hair. This is all real. I just got it trimmed. I just got a nice little cut back in Cincinnati. I had a real dilemma because I trust one person back in New England to cut my hair, and I moved to Cincinnati 4 years ago for PFF, and I could not trust anybody to cut my hair, but I found somebody. Found a blue chipper who I trust to cut my real hair.
Have you been going with this particular haircut for a long stretch of time?
I used to shave it all off back in high school. I let it grow out throughout college. The girl started noticing, so I
stuck with it.
I did, and it's just grown. You know, my wife likes it. Grow it out a little bit longer and longer as I go, and it's all real. Absolutely, this is. They tell me it's glorious hair.
I
think it's nice hair. Look, he was just asking, like maybe you were going for that look perm style because you still liked it. It didn't look perm enough to me.
No, this is all. This is all real.
We'll be sure to. We'll get that audio cut sent to our.
Good question.
Very, very important. Stuff. I'm going to get. We. That's probably going to be the only time you think you're asked about your hair on Radio Row this week.
That might be it. Okay. Other than again, the guys, having some fun behind.
I'm
the
sure
scenes
people
here.
Are like, how tall are you? Like, man, we're not.
We do get that quite a bit. Yeah, of course. 6'10". So there you go.
Oh, so you just okay.
That is really convenient for our station. 6'10".
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. Perfect.
Come on, look
that's
at the cohesion
six,
here.
6'10". 6'10". Perfect.
So when you do look at the game, though, with the Chiefs and Niners, I think you guys even just put up something recently on Pro Football Focus about this Chiefs defense. So they got worse at rushing the passer, actually, as the year went on, or at this year period. But we look at this defense, it's a better defense. How does that all equate?
Yeah, it's fascinating because actually last offseason, Dr. Eric Eager was doing a lot of this research and stuff like that. And this has been a big thing we've done at PFF. We got 12 years of data on the NFL, and we just started to get some really smart guys kind of interpreting it and figuring out what it means. And one of the big findings was like, hey, if you could choose to cover well or to rush the passer well, covering well, it's kind of like, because it's like the last thing that happens. If you know you could force an incompletion, you force an incompletion. So find guys that can cover. And that was the Chiefs' issue last year. They're playing a lot of man coverage. They couldn't keep up with anybody. We saw that in all their blowouts. And they were our number one graded pass rushing team. But teams would get the ball out quick, and guys were open. It didn't matter that D Ford and Justin Houston and Chris Jones were getting quick pressure. This year they're doing a better job mixing it up, a lot more zone, zero blitzes when they need to. I mean, Spags is doing a really nice job of mixing things up. They're covering better on the back end, and that's ultimately what you want. So they're doing a better job without great names, without rushing the passer that well, of just making life a little bit more difficult on the quarterback because they're covering just that split second longer.
How close are these two pass rushes in comparison? The 49ers obviously got a lot of dudes who can do it. Chiefs have a couple guys who can do it. How close are those two pass rushes in comparison?
I think the Niners are far and away, you know, up there in that top three, you know, pretty, you know, separated from the pack, I would say. I mean, their big thing is adding a Nick Bosa, adding D Ford when he's out there, having a career year from Arik Armstead, and then hey, DeForest Buckner, who's kind of been the only guy there for the last 2 years, actually has some friends to rush the passer too. So I think that's the challenge with the Niners, is they can move those guys along the defensive front, and you have to block all of them, you know. So getting pressure on the quarterback is like a it's like a yes or no thing. And so you've got one out of four guys that can, you know, that can win, whereas last year's 49ers had nobody, and the, you know, the Chiefs were, they were difficult to block last year. But again, if the receivers are open on the back end, it doesn't always matter.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, joining us here from Radio Row in Miami. Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. Tight ends is a huge story in this match. You have the first and second best tight end, depending on which side you're on. You're gonna say the other one's the number one, Frank
Kelsey
Clark.
Kelsey here, is that right?
No. The only two that matter, by the way,
yeah,
really tight end-wise.
How have you seen each team fare against them, against tight ends, I should say, as a whole? Just in you know, the concern for those in Kansas City is, okay, is Tyrann Mathieu going to draw that assignment against Kittle? How does Kansas City approach that? How have they done against tight ends?
Yeah, so I think neither team has a specific answer. You know, so a lot of people like to analyze the game like Belichick's playing. Belichick is the most game plan oriented. Like, we are literally going to double Travis Kelce and double Tyreek Hill and make you go elsewhere. So the 49ers aren't going to do that, you know, at least, you know, outside of maybe a couple snaps here and there, but they're going to play their cover three and mix it up, and it's always going to be some kind of team effort when the Niners are playing. And I think the Chiefs might be a little bit more game plan oriented with George Kittle, but the beauty of the 49ers offense is that you can't really key on one person, because they use motion to free guys up, and they know how to distribute to all of their playmakers. So there's no real answer on how to slow them. It's just a matter of you know, picking your poison at the right times and figuring out, you know, how do we take one thing away and not give up too much somewhere else?
Well, the motion part of it, you know, Tyrann Mathieu talked a little bit about it. He's like, nah, just stay. Motion only matters to a few players, is what Spagnuolo told us. Just
right.
Ignore. The rest of you have to ignore it, which is a difficult ask, I know, for players sometimes. From an analytical end, obviously, he felt like that was the largest advantage because he does it more than anyone. Does that mean they need that in order to, like, I guess the question is, like, is it a crutch? Like, is it mean they need better talent so that they need less motion? Or is it just the offense he likes to run? For instance, maybe the Chiefs use less because they're like, hell, Mahomes will just throw it to somebody.
Yeah, so I think with the Niners, I mean, look, football's all about putting defenders into conflict, and it's never going to be all 11. I mean, that's right. But it's always about one, right? So you're always trying to find that one matchup mismatch, right? That one advantage. So from a run game perspective, the age-old question in football is like, I've got seven blockers and then there's eight guys. Well, as soon as you use motion or if you use other tactics to take one guy out, it's like, all right, now it's 7-on-7. We've evened up the numbers. So the evolution of the Shanahan scheme is like, we run outside zone, you leave one guy unblocked, and if he, you know, if he overcommits to the run, you run boot action off it. So you've effectively taken one guy out of the play. Then you get an RG3 and you unblock him and you just make him wrong every single time. Now it's with motion, it's jet sweep, it's the end around stuff, which they did back in the day. They're just doing a lot more of it. So it puts one guy into conflict and you just make him wrong all the time. And instead of running into a 7-man box, it's a 6-man box, and the advantage is there. So yeah, it only affects one or two guys, but that one step can open up that, you know, play action behind them or the run game, or, you know, you lose a gap essentially defensively.
With the wide receiver group, we talked a little bit about where they are. You said that they'd gotten better kind of the season went on. Emmanuel Sanders, seemingly, that was when Deebo Samuel's numbers took a jump.
Yeah.
Does that mean Deebo Samuel's not as big of a threat? I mean, I know he is, obviously, with Emmanuel Sanders, but, you know, how much credit needs to go to him in order to say he's the reason why Deebo's getting open in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's a big factor, and I think, you know, the thing that makes the Chiefs so difficult to defend is obviously there's a lot of guys that can get open. And then the Niners just added another weapon, right? I mean, on paper, they did not have a great group of receivers. But when you have Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel and Kittle in the middle, and they like to run the ball and run play action, now it's like, all right, what part of the field are we going to defend? How are we going to defend this? So it all works together. I'm a big believer in today's NFL. As long as your offensive line isn't terrible, throw as many playmakers out there. The Chiefs are perfect for this. They don't have the best offensive line in the NFL. They're good, not great. Mahomes can either get rid of the ball quick or extend plays to mitigate some of that. But if you have to cover a Tyreek Hill and a Travis Kelce and Sammy when he's good, and Hardman, you have no idea where he's going to be and where he's going to be running, that is impossible to cover. There's no way to stop Patrick Mahomes unless, you know, he misses throws, because he's got so many to throw to. So the Niners aren't at that level, but they added that one extra guy to just create more open throws.
I know you said the offensive line's good, not great, but at least from the Mitchell Schwartz angle, I know Pro Football Focus, the Chiefs end of it, was pointing out that the pass blocking snaps he'd had the season 90.
Yeah,
pass rush attempts, the pressure he's allowed, one.
Yeah.
It is kind of nice when a team pass rushes the way they do to just have one guy who can eliminate someone.
Yeah, Mitchell's been fantastic at our numbers for a while. I mean, we thought that the Browns made a huge mistake just getting rid of him a few years ago. He has been consistently good at right tackle. Kansas City's the only city I've been to that I think appreciates their right tackle. Every other city thinks their right tackle's terrible.
We really like Swartz.
I mean, but that's, and he's a good guy too.
Yeah.
He's good on Twitter, and he's, you know, cordial and all that stuff.
He's got cute dogs.
Yeah, he's a good player, right? So it's just funny because, like, when Zach Strief was playing for the Saints, he was probably the second, third, fourth best right tackle, and he'd get whooped a couple times a game because that's what right tackles do, and Saints fans hated him. We were like, no, you have to know what the right tackle situation is around the rest of the NFL. The NFL has a tackle problem. There's 64 jobs and probably 32 that are good between left and right tackle. So it is nice having at least that one spot. Houston did it on the other side with Laremy Tunsil this year, kind of locked down one spot. It did have a trickle-down effect. So Mitchell is huge for what Kansas City is able to do.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, with us here from Radio Row in Miami. How much trust should the Niners have in Garoppolo? That's something him and I have kind of gone back and forth on throughout the last week or so. I trust Garoppolo a little bit more than he does. Naturally, I understand, naturally, if he throws the ball, you know, more times, the opportunity there for mistakes are going to happen. But where are you at with Garoppolo, and what do some of the numbers say about his performance this year?
Yeah, so Garoppolo, he's middle tier of quarterbacks. I remember coming out, I compared him to Matt Hasselbeck, and I still kind of stand by that. Hasselbeck brought the Seahawks to a Super Bowl in 2005, and it's one of those guys, if you have the right play call or the right supporting cast, you can execute and, you know, run an offense pretty well. That's been Garoppolo. The one thing that's been a little concerning is the turnover-worthy plays. You know, he'd always have like one or two a game, just misreads a linebacker, just, you know, bad read in the red zone, holds on to the ball too long and fumbles. If those things pop up again and you lose a possession against this Chiefs offense, you're in trouble. But other than that, he's run the offense really well. They attack the middle of the field. And one of the numbers I love so much, it's the fourth most efficient offense by our numbers in the NFL. And he's got our number 12 passing grade. So they're fourth most efficient. He's number 12. Usually the quarterback dictates all this stuff. So that tells me the play calling, the playmakers, the scheme is excellent. So it doesn't need a Mahomes necessarily. It needs a guy that could just execute, not make those bad mistakes, and they will remain efficient. And I think that's the big thing for the 49ers and Garoppolo.
Let's get a game prediction from you, brought to you by Brancato's Catering. Because obviously we get these. You know, I know that you have to give a few of these. You might not have fully settled in on your number, but which way do you see it going?
On 6'10 here. At 6'10", I'm going with the Chiefs. I got to go with the Chiefs here, right? I
mean,
right
now, 61-0. Finish the.
I won't be that extreme, but I think they'll score points, right? So I'll say 31-20, Chiefs. I think it'll be close. You know, they pull away a little at the end. Andy doesn't get conservative at the end this time. It's close at the end, and then they keep their foot on the gas and score some points down the stretch.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Thanks as always. We enjoy when you're able to hop on the phone. It's good to meet you in person as well. And we'll let our producer know about the hair. And the hair is good to go.
Yeah,
and the
beautiful.
Hair is real.
All good. Real.
All right. There you go. Our guests are brought to you by Rufus Teague. And so we appreciate Steve joining us here on set from the TicketSolutions.com table. As a matter of fact, this segment of Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio is brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry and LMC Trucks. So that last stat, I mean, that's something you and I have talked a lot about is Jimmy Garoppolo, but the last stat he gave us just about, that's an efficient offense, fourth being the Niners, but Garoppolo passer rating is 12. That's a great example. That's a hell of a stat, honestly, just to kind of give you a perspective of where they're at. That
yeah,
bodes well for
Shanahan.
Well, I've never debated that. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo was the genius of the offense here and the reason why the offense – 12 isn't terrible, but when it's the fourth most efficient offense, you know, we were trying to figure out who gets credit for what. Like, that's pretty like, there's no debate who gets credit for why the offense has been effective this year in San Francisco. It's obviously Shanahan. I was never debating that part of it.
It was, yeah, and I, you know, again, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a bad quarterback. I should make that clear. I've been more critical than those. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is fine, is how I put it. Perfectly fine. You should be fine if you have a starting quarterback of Jimmy Garoppolo's caliber. You shouldn't be, like, overly satisfied or thrilled to the moon, but you're good. You know, lots of people have a worse quarterback situation than the one that you're in Jimmy Garoppolo, or what we talked about, what Dak Prescott earlier, right? You're in a similar situation. Life is about the same. And I know that the quarterback is not the only end-all, be-all difference in this game, because it's not. That's not the one deciding factor to go into it. To me, it's about mistakes. I feel like Super Bowls, when they're close, come down to that just, like, inch you give up for a second. In recent history, it's been the Patriots. But that, like, millisecond you make a mistake, you let up for a half a second, you run yourself into the problems that other teams have. And if it's the flip side, I think the Chiefs can much more easily overcome it than the 49ers.
No doubt. And it gets back, you know, you can't say it enough. It gets back to what we've seen this postseason. You have someone that nobody else in the league has, and maybe someone we've never seen in the NFL before, and a guy like Patrick Mahomes. And so, yes, you're able to overcome those things more than any other team in football because of him. It is truly that simple. And so it's not so much for me as much about Garoppolo's inability to do it as it just is like just a reminder of how impressive it is with Patrick Mahomes and his ability to do it and overcome.
Yeah, it's just the same situation. Like he said, they're a really efficient offense. So, you know, they will overcome inefficiency. But I think the problem with when you've got the 12th rated quarterback, let's say by Pro Football Focus's measure, and the 4th rated efficiency offenses by Pro Football Focus, so that means that the hell of an efficient offense. That's when getting down matters more. Like when you're forced to do it. When you can't just like run your efficiency off, and you can for the most part, but you get down a little bit. And you try to force some throw you're not supposed to, you try to force some play into working into existence that you don't. Shanahan's really good. I don't think there's going to be a ton of mistakes in this game because these two quarterbacks, Garoppolo's just more likely to do it. I obviously.
Well, yeah, if I'm picking
between the two. No, I know that.
Who's That's more likely to have the mistake? Obviously, it would be Garoppolo. But I also think because of how quickly and what we've seen from this Chiefs offense overcoming those mistakes.
We know they can do it.
We know they can do it, but it also makes it, when we look at other teams and. That's what other teams is the norm. Like what Kansas City is doing is not normal.
No.
Right? It is not normal. So when we view teams, whether in this case the 49ers, for example.
They really get the most out of their parts.
They do. And I don't think, clearly they're not that inefficient of an offense because they're fourth based on some of the metrics. But just the idea, you're not supposed to be able to come back from 24-0. You're not supposed to be able to go on 41-7 scoring runs. That's not, it doesn't mean the Niners offense or any other offense is not efficient. It just speaks to how efficient and how effective the Kansas City Chiefs are. All right, let's get to our prop bet of the hour here on Cody and Gold. We've got another one for you. Teams with the most rushing yards in the game. The team with the most rushing yards in the game coming up on Sunday.
49ers.
49ers minus 36.5. Yes, because it would be very simple.
Yeah.
If that was a bet, I wonder what kind of odds you would need to take it because it wouldn't even be worth it. But so, of course, there's a spread involved here. 49ers minus 36.5, minus 110. Chiefs plus 36.5. So, again, essentially the Chiefs have to be within 37 or 36.5 rushing yards of the Niners. Can they do that?
I think I'd take the Chiefs. 36.5. Feels like they're giving up enough that I've seen them hold down. You know, I saw them hold down Derrick Henry. Not that I think the 49ers have more success on the ground than the Titans did. But 36.5 between Mahomes and Williams and others, I'll take the risk that they're within that number because I think the Niners could run for 1 to 150. And I do see the Chiefs between Mahomes and Williams or who, you know, like even if Darwin gets a carry, that they could land in that 80 to 100 range. Which is why I think as a group, I think they can stay within that number. And if it's like point spread in basketball. It's like, you give me 36.5 yards,
it's hard not to take. No, and I think that is the bet that most people on the side would take. I probably still lean a little bit with the Niners, and it's interesting because I'm higher on Mahomes rushing attempts and Mahomes rushing yards than you are heading into this game. But that's another prop bet of the hour. Coming up next here from Miami, we'll look at the three things that the Chiefs match up well compared to the 49ers. Three matches on the field that make you feel worse about Kansas City, as a matter of fact. And we'll continue here with more guests as well, plus another prop bet of the hour.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.